cards, husband and wife sharing gifts and smiles and kisses. It's easy to share a card when things are going easy. But what about when things are going tough? What about when you're really thrown a real curve in life and you don't know how to navigate that curve? As a couple, as individuals, we deal with unexpected curves in our journey of life. I want to share with you a couple that I believe was deeply in love. A couple that we don't often think about on Valentine's Day, but a couple whose story of love, listening to the Lord and leaning on each other, leaves a legacy of love through the generations. It's the story of the earthly parents of Jesus, Joseph and Mary. They serve as a model to us. I believe that they show us agape love, and that's God's love. It's the highest love. It's seeking the highest good for others. And as we seek the highest good for one another, let's look this morning at what you might think, man, this is unusual. I can think of this passage here. There's like five or six passages that deal with Mary and Joseph in Scripture, and we're going to look at a couple of them, and I'll refer to a few more. How do they show us love? Well, the first one is in Matthew chapter 1, starting verse 18 to 25. You know this passage well. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, and before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She gave birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, and because he'll save his people from their sins." And after this took place, to fulfill what God had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. Look a little bit farther over in Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. We pick up the story. Christ has been born. Christ has already been dedicated at the temple on the eighth day of his life, and there they had encountered Simeon and Anna. And we know a little bit later, now he's a Christ child. And the Magi had come to visit. We pick up the story in chapter 2 of Matthew. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I'll call my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years of age and under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then it was said what the prophet Jeremiah said, "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod had died, an angel appeared again to Joseph in a dream. While he was in Egypt, he said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those there who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up and he took the child and his mother and he went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled what was said by the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Another passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, I won't read it, but it's the passage that when Jesus was 12 years of age, Joseph and Mary went with him and took him to the temple to worship. And they were there and worshiping, and after the time was such, the caravan of friends and family that had gone decided to go back home, and they went back home, and 2 days away in the journey, they noticed that Jesus wasn't with them. You ever been on the journey at a certain measure and somehow or another you left Jesus behind? That he's not here? They go back to the temple and they look for him and they find him there. And the encounter that Joseph and Mary have with their son, he lets them know that he is to be about his father's business in his father's house. Just a few little snippets in Scripture of the story of Joseph and Mary. And we see that theirs is a marriage and a family life that I believe shows us a great legacy of love. Life is a journey. It's an adventure. And in that journey, sometimes we're going to face unexpected curves, unexpected crisis. It might be a medical report that you didn't expect. An accident that you didn't see coming, a job being over, having a baby, losing a baby, losing someone without warning, taking up and moving, being warned that someone's out to destroy your family. Couples face challenges all the time in life. It's how we handle the challenges that really makes us who we are. It's how we handle the challenges that helps us not only through that moment, but it impacts our family and it impacts those around us, and I believe has a lasting impact long beyond the time that our life is done here on earth. We see in the story in the birth of Christ, the child, unexpected parents who were thrown curves along the road. How do we navigate this path that is upon us and this path that we're on and facing with these things that we don't totally understand? I think there's basically three things that they did. One, they listened to the Lord, to his angels and the message. Two, they obeyed what the Lord had said through his messengers. And three, they leaned on each other. Joseph and Mary were a team. Who are the members of this team of Joseph and Mary and their son Jesus? Well, Mary, she was a cousin of Elizabeth. We know she was of the tribe of Levi, perhaps one of the descendants of David, and since her mother was from Bethlehem. We know in her character that she was sexually pure and moral. She was a woman of faith. She was spiritual, obedient. She was a willing servant, as you know in Mary's song. And she had an attitude of praise. God gave her an assignment. I want you to be the earthly vessel to give birth to my son who's going to come and save the world of their sins. An assignment that had not ever been given to any other person before or since was given to this teenage girl to give birth to Jesus. The other part of the team is Joseph. Who is he? He's an older guy. He's a taxpayer. He's a common man. We know that he's a carpenter. It would mean that he was really good at details. He was the kind of guy that would measure twice and cut once. In his character, he was sexually pure. He was a man of integrity, as we see in Matthew 1:19, his reaction when he discovered that Mary was pregnant. He was a man of faith. Also in Matthew 1:19, we see that he was sensitive. He was not cruel and cold-hearted. Rather than make a public spectacle of her, which he had every right to do under their custom and law. Scripture tells us that he was thinking about having her put away privately. He was spiritual. He was in touch with the Lord God. He was also a man, I believe, that was obedient. When God came to him and his messenger in a dream and told him to do things that if it was said to you or I, we would think, that's crazy. You know, sometimes God tells us to do something and it's entirely right and that's what we need to do. But when you look at it on the surface, you try to write it down on a sheet of paper and look at it, that's crazy. But when you obey it, it's not crazy at all. It's the only thing that works. It's the pattern of obedience that brings life and love and a shelter for us. He was a willing servant. He was willing to be used by God for what would be an assignment that no other man on earth had been given. An assignment to be the earthly father figure of the Son of God who would come for his world. God had chosen Mary, God had chosen Joseph for unique assignments. And here Joseph becomes a role player. He's not the star attraction in this. Husbands and dads find that out pretty quick. It's not about us. It was never supposed to be. A child comes in and the child takes over and is in charge, aren't they? And quite often as dads and as granddads, grandchild number four is due next month. We take a back seat and we watch, we try to help and protect. Joseph listened to God. And as he listened to him, not only did he listen to him, but he obeyed. They had very unexpected curves that were thrown in their path of life. They could have easily gotten off the road and says, let me off here. I don't want to be involved in this. But they ventured on the journey. And in venturing on that unexpected curve, how did they handle it? What's some of the curves? Well, her pregnancy. She was engaged to Joseph. Marriage involved three different steps in their custom of that day, three different parts. First of all was the promise of marriage. It was easily that at this point that it could be broken or informally canceled. The second was the betrothal. Here's where the parents would sit down and work through a legal binding contract in which a dowry would be probably ascribed and arrangements were made of what would happen and what part would go to what family and what would be the different responsibilities of the families, but what would be the responsibility of the future husband and wife. There it gets a little bit more technical. The last part would be the part in which the groom would go on his wedding day to the home of the bride and bring her home to his house. It was in part number two that Mary's pregnancy happens. In that second part of the three, we see the unexpected curve comes about. Before they even have a chance to become husband and wife, before they consummate a marriage, a child comes into the world. Talk about an unexpected curve. Can you imagine the emotions that Mary dealt with? Can you imagine the emotions that Joseph dealt with? Joseph, by law, could have had her put to death before Jesus was ever born. Joseph, by custom, no one would have blamed him. Mary could have said no. But they both said yes. And in saying yes, we see that they handled that unexpected curve. And as they threw a curve, not only to all their hopes and dreams of what they thought their perfect life and future would be, but they found themselves handling that curve in such a way that instead of having the pregnancy blow up in their face, it became the greatest blessing of all time, Jesus coming into our world. How about another unexpected curve? Angels appearing and talking. Has an angel talked to you lately? If an angel talked to you in a dream or talked to you in another room, would you come out of that room or wake up from that dream and be willing to tell everybody what the angel told you to do? Second question, would you be willing to obey what the angel of the Lord told you to do? Both Joseph and Mary had the unexpected curves of angels talking to them. People might think, you're crazy, you're hearing voices, you're seeing things. Oh yes, they're hearing voices and they're seeing things. But it's the voice of God with instructions for life and love. And they obey it. Wow. And Joseph, who could have easily been the one that had put out all life, suddenly becomes the one who is the protector. He takes on the role of protector. He is husband. He is dad. He is guardian. He is the one who puts his life on the line to see that Mary is protected and that the unborn child is protected. And when the child is born, that newborn child is protected. When God speaks, they listen and obey. Oh, what a great thing to be said of any couple in life that are committed together. That when God speaks to either one of us and or both of us, we listen and obey. Another part curve there is the journey to Bethlehem. It was a treacherous trip. It was not an easy trip. Ladies, when you're 8 months pregnant plus, do you really like to go on a car ride? Do you really like to go for a walk? How about a donkey ride? Guys, how would you like to lead your 8th month pregnant wife many, many miles on a rocky path at day and night traveling with folks to go into a small village to pay your taxes? Don't you just get excited? Don't you just want to reach in your key and your hand, get your key? Oh, no, can't use my keys. It's a donkey, not a car. Unexpected curve. Then you get there and you can't find a place to sleep. There's no room available. They have to go to a cattle stall. Talk about another curve. Most unlikely place in a little town, in a place that originally they did not ever think that they would be. Ever been that way for you in your married life? We've been in places that we never thought that we'd be, facing challenges that we never thought that we would face, not knowing how to figure out how to do it. But in that curve, God, sometimes with a still small voice, or especially with a still small voice, speaks to us, says, this is what I'd have you to do, and this is what I'd have you to do. And we put it together, and it works. One of the scripture passages that I didn't read, but I referred to, was the one in Luke, where on farther in chapter 2, on the 8th day after Jesus is born, they take him to the temple for rites of purification and circumcision. There his name is given to him publicly. After they had taken care of that part of worship, outside is an elderly gentleman, says 84, named Simeon. Simeon comes up to them. They meet him there in the courtyard outside the temple, and he pronounces a blessing on Jesus. He looks into Jesus' eyes, and he says something like Blankenship translation, Lord, you can take me home now. I've been able to look into the eyes of Jesus. And Jesus has looked into my eyes. And Anna, an older lady, comes up and she blesses them. And after that, I can just imagine Joseph and Mary, they're holding, maybe Mary's holding the child and Joseph is leaning over his shoulder looking in, and they're looking at one another's eyes. What did we just experience? God's doing so much more now than we ever thought back those months ago when we first had the dream from the angels. When God first said that, I want to do a miracle through you, and now we see God performing that miracle and others are recognizing who that little child is. Oh, prior to that, there'd been the shepherds. Imagine you're in the middle of the night and you're, it's late at night, it's cold, got a newborn babe, doing the best you can, and suddenly your room becomes a greeting room for a whole bunch of shepherds. And I imagine some sheep came along with them. It's okay, it's a cattle stall. And these people that you don't even know come and look into his eyes, and I imagine before it was all over, one of them said, an angel spoke to us, told us not to be afraid, but to come into Bethlehem and we would see your son. All of this stuff, my mind would just be going crazy. Wow, Lord, what are you doing? How are you working through all of this? As people come to worship our child, talk about curves. Then we see unexpected curves of their dreams and realities not matching up. And they live in a land of oppression with the Jews and the Romans and all of that. So the legal duties of registering and taxing, that lodging thing. How do we apply all that to our lives today? We find ourselves as couples facing challenges. Some of them are of our own making and doing. They're our own fault. We have to face them anyhow. Others, it's just called life, isn't it? Other times we get some of those things that I talked about earlier that's just suddenly thrust upon us, a medical report or an accident, having a baby, moving, etc. How do we handle it all? I think we handle it with the example that this couple shows us. We listen to the Lord. If you listen, He'll be speaking to you. He'll seek to tell you what is best for you in that situation. How best it would be your part in that. How best would be your spouse's part in that. And it, surely, if God's talking to you, He's also talking to your spouse. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening with our heart, and are we listening with our ears and our mind? That we can really hear what it is that God is saying to us at that moment, that we would obey and go out and face that challenge. Sometimes when challenges come our way, we have different choices of how we're going to handle it. We can like go out, okay, this is how I got it figured out. This is how we're going to handle it. And we set off to do it the way that we thought's best. Or we think about it and say, this is the way that would be most beneficial for someone else. We'll handle it this way. And we go off and we start to do things that way. I submit to you that there's a third and a better way. We stop, no matter what the curve is. We stop and wait and learn to listen to the Lord. Joseph and Mary listened to the Lord. They chose to trust God. They didn't understand all of what was going to happen, but they knew that they needed His guidance. They knew that they needed His provision. They knew that they just had simply said yes to Him and had said yes to one another. And somehow God would work it all out. I believe every time that they looked into Jesus' eyes, every time they saw Him smiling back at them from the time that He was a babe to a little boy till Joseph had breathed his last here on earth, and Mary all throughout Jesus' life to Calvary. I imagine that they said, you know what? I'm so glad I listened to God. I'm so glad not only we listened to Him, that we obeyed Him together and individually. And we loved each other and worked as a team. You don't see in Scripture, it said that, we don't see it talking about Joseph kissing Mary or Joseph embracing Mary and Mary embracing Joseph. But I believe it was obvious that they loved each other. And in the love that they had for each other and the love that they had for that child, under the umbrella of the love that they had for the Lord, God, through a most unlikely couple change the world. But guess what? God's still working to change the world through unlikely couples like your household and ours. The formula that worked for them is the formula that works for us. That when we face unexpected curves in life, when we face those situations we don't know, how are we going to handle this? This is beyond my understanding. We stop and we listen to the Lord. We obey the Lord. We don't push one another away. We lean on one another. You know why Satan's doing the very best that he can to destroy your life and your home? Because he knows that marriage is an institution that was created by God. As husbands and wives come together under the leadership and lordship of Christ and of the Heavenly Father, that's the institution that is to take on the world. There have been serpents all along that have been trying to tell us, listen another way. Would you avoid the serpents and their voice and listen to the angels of God? I submit to you this morning that through the power of the Lord's word, that every curve that you face when you trust in God and express your faith in Him, by listening, obeying, and leaning on one another, He'll see you through. And I would be anxious to hear of the miracle that He's done through you guys teaming up together with your spouse and your family teaming up and literally being able to shake your fist at Satan saying, you don't have our house. Christ came into a loving home, a righteous home. And what He learned as a little child there at their feet, He shared in His ministry, and that message still goes through to today. Oh, how He loves you and me. Stand together with me, please. Precious Lord, this morning, I thank You for the gift of Your love. I thank You for the gift of home, of marriage. I thank You for the fact that when we face difficult situations of life, that You're there. We can listen to You and hear a path that's best. And whether it's us as couples or us as individuals, when we listen to You and then obey what You say, that's when life falls into place. That's when we're able to navigate the curve. That's when the legacy of what God can do through a life that's yielded to You becomes apparent, not only to us, but to others. God, You chose an unlikely couple of a teenage gal and a carpenter son to be the earthly parents of Your child. And You choose unlikely folks like each of us to be the ones that would be vessels through which Your love might flow. May our spouses see Jesus in us. May our children see Jesus in us. May our grandchildren see Jesus in us. May our family members and friends and those that we're trying to reach for the world in the world see Jesus in us. Father, may the legacy of Your love be lived out in each life that's here. And God's children said, amen. God bless you. Please share Jesus with one another.